Foundations Lesson Number 7, Sharing the Gospel Message, Part 2. Roman numeral number 2 on our outline gives us some reasons we're to share the gospel message. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In the two verses we've just read, I like to emphasize the words "wants" and "wanting." Those words make it crystal clear that God desires all to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish. It's vitally important for us to understand the heart of God and then to allow Him to change our hearts to become more and more like His. God has a deep longing, a great yearning to include, to draw people to Himself, to make sure as much as possible that no one gets left out. There's a poem I learned years ago that reflects God's desire to include. It goes like this. "They drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took them in." Over and over again in the scripture, God invites us to come to Him. James 4:8, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Isaiah 55:1, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Just after the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden had fallen into sin, Scripture tells us that the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Let's remember that when the Almighty asks a question, it's not because He's looking for information. He knows all things. He knew exactly where the man was hiding. I suppose He may have taken the approach He did because He wanted to give the man opportunity to come forward on his own. But God took the initiative. I imagine His heart ached deeply over the busted relationship between Himself and the humans He'd created. A wise woman from Tekoa once said, and I'm quoting 2 Samuel 14:14, "Like water spilled on the ground which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But God does not take away life. Instead, He devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him." Did you catch that? God longs for unity and relational harmony so deeply that He devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him. For us, that's both a great blessing and a great challenge. It's an incredible blessing to know that the very Creator and Sustainer of all things will tenderly and faithfully do anything within reason to draw us back to Himself whenever we stray. But it's also a great challenge because what God has done for us, He expects us to do for others. He's called us to be like Him. The deep longing He has to include people, to have rich and healthy relationships with them, we need to have in our hearts as well. With every glimpse I get of God's vast and tender compassionate care, I realize afresh and anew how far I still have to go. Fortunately, I can trust God's great transforming power to do the work of getting me there, and so can you. We also understand from God's word that if we share the gospel message with an unbeliever, and that unbeliever then accepts the message and turns to God, heaven rejoices. Luke 15:7, Jesus is speaking, He says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." I don't know if angels celebrate with cake and balloons or not, but we do know that all of heaven gets gloriously happy when just one human receives God's salvation. Since our main priority in life is to live in such a way that God is pleased, that's powerful encouragement for us to share the gospel message. We shouldn't try to force or overpower anyone to receive Christ into their lives. Our job is to care for them, tell them what they need to know, encourage them, pray for them, and then let them make their choice. If they choose well, we rejoice with them and with all of heaven. If they choose badly, we grieve. But we have to respect the fact that it's their decision, not ours. As powerful as God is, he's also incredibly gentle. That's why the Bible tells us that one of the evidences or fruit of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is gentleness. As we noted earlier, God says that we should always be prepared to tell people why we have the hope that we do. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Peter here uses the word always. Always be prepared. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says to be prepared in season and out of season. I believe in season refers to those times when we're expecting what's coming, and so we have the opportunity to get ready. But out of season refers to those times when we have zero advance warning. When that happens, it's especially important for us to trust God and therefore not get stressed or frazzled. God is never caught off guard. His Spirit lives inside each one of us believers. So we just need to retain our peace and believe that the Holy Spirit will give us all the words the other person needs to hear. Then, Scripture also declares that we can snatch people from the fire. Jude 23. Snatch others from the fire and save them. We know that God is a great rescuer, but here he invites us to have a part in his great rescue operation. Jude doesn't define the nature of the fire we can snatch people from to save them. Maybe he's referring to the fire of eternal damnation, or maybe it's the fire of earthly pain and sorrow that results from sin. Scripture doesn't tell us, but either way, it's clear that the people he refers to need to be saved and that we've been given by God all that's necessary to do the job. Then also, Scripture tells us to share the gospel message because it's wise to do so. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Wisdom is a remarkable quality. Those who walk in wisdom have a whole slew of benefits that others don't have. The proverb we just read tells us that those who engage in the work of endeavoring to win souls are actually walking in wisdom. Another benefit to sharing the gospel message is mentioned in the book of Philemon, verse 6. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Here, Paul the Apostle is writing to Philemon, exhorting him to be active in sharing his faith. Paul goes on to point out that the unbelievers who hear his message aren't the only ones who benefit. I find it remarkable that in Christ, some things are not fully received until they're given away. I know that sounds like a paradox, but Jesus told us to give and it would be given unto us, that with the measure we use, it will be measured to us. That principle certainly applies here. The benefit received by the one sharing the gospel message is revealed to be a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So if you feel that you have a lot to learn about what it means to be in Christ, sharing your faith is one activity you can engage in to grow in that area of your life. Next on our outline, we read that God has ordained that people give the world the good news. Romans 10:14-15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. 10 times in the book of Genesis chapter 1, it's noted that God created plants and animals according to their kinds. The strong inference is also that each of these plants and animals reproduce according to their kinds. So when hyenas reproduce, for example, they don't have baby mosquitoes or frogs, they have baby hyenas. Similarly, when an apple seed is planted, the resulting tree isn't a pear tree or an oak tree, but an apple tree. Since God has designed his physical creation in such a way that living things reproduce according to their own kinds, it shouldn't surprise us that his spiritual creation has been designed to function similarly. Believing humans, full of the Spirit of God, have the capacity, by sharing the gospel message, to reproduce, seeing others born into the kingdom of God. Granted, on very rare occasion, God has been known to use other means, but almost always, God's preferred method is that a child of his shares the gospel message, resulting in spiritual reproduction. Then also, we share the gospel message because we never know when we might be next to someone who's close to death. Acts 12, verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Skipping to verse 18. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Peter had been imprisoned by Herod. Roman law stated that a soldier who was charged with the duty of guarding a prisoner had to pay with his own life if that prisoner escaped. The night before Peter was to be brought to trial, an angel of the Lord came and miraculously freed him from the prison. When Peter couldn't be found the next day, the guards were executed. The point here is that Peter had been in a jail cell with no idea that the guards to his right and to his left had less than 24 hours to live. They had no idea either. So it's a good idea to share the gospel message at every opportunity we've been given because we don't know what a day may bring forth. Many years ago, our pastor told us the story of how one morning when he was in grade school, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to tell Manfred about me today." Two or three times during the school day, the Lord reminded him to share the gospel message with Manfred, who was a classmate of his. Our pastor told us that at the end of the school day, he put God off saying, "I'll do it tomorrow." Later that day, Manfred was out on a fishing boat with his grandfather and drowned. We never know when we might be next to someone who has less than 24 hours to live. The last reason given on our outline that we're to share the gospel message is that no one having known hell would want anyone else to go there. Luke 16, starting in verse 22, Jesus is speaking, he says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father, Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.'" The rich man knew what it was to be in such torment that he longed for the treasured relief provided by even a single drop of water. In that state of intense agony, he begged Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers so that they might escape the destiny that had befallen him. No one, having known hell, would want anyone else to go there. The reasons given to share the gospel message under Roman numeral number 2 on our outline are not exhaustive. I trust you'll discover others as you continue to walk with God. Hopefully, the reasons provided here will give all of us enough motivation and understanding to help us please God in this important aspect of the Christian life. Amen.